Good morning. It's Wednesday, January 14th. Thousands are dead in Iran as protests escalate. Greenland talks are underway at the White House, and Saks Fifth Avenue just filed for bankruptcy, marking the potential end of an American retail era. Meanwhile, bank earnings are rolling in, and gold just hit another record. Let's get into it. Markets are under pressure in early trading this morning. The S&P 500 and Dow both slipped after Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citi reported quarterly results. Bank of America posted a 12% jump in profit, driven by stronger consumer spending, but the stock dropped anyway, a classic sell the news reaction after banks rallied into earnings. Wells Fargo disappointed on net income, and Citi took a $1.2 billion hit from finally selling its Russia operations. The real story in markets this morning is commodities. Gold futures hit a fresh intraday record, silver did the same, and copper contracts in New York also touched all-time highs. The driver? Geopolitical risk. Between Iran's escalating crisis, Greenland tensions, and continued trade uncertainty, investors are reaching for hard assets. If you're watching your portfolio today, the question is whether this commodity surge is a short-term fear trade or something more structural. When gold, silver, and copper all move together, it often signals inflation expectations creeping back, something to monitor as we get more economic data this week. Speaking of data, we got two reads this morning that cut in opposite directions. Retail sales for November jumped 0.6%, stronger than expected, suggesting consumers are still spending despite everything. But wholesale inflation came in cooler at just 0.2%. For the Fed, this is the dream scenario. Growth without heat. Whether it holds is another question. Overseas, Japan's Nikkei 225 set another record high as their prime minister called a snap election. South Korea's KOSPI also hit an all-time peak. Asian markets are on a tear, and for U.S. investors with international exposure, this is a reminder that the rest of the world isn't sitting still. Now let's talk about Saks, because this bankruptcy tells a bigger story about where retail is headed. Saks Global, the parent company of Saks Fifth Avenue, Neiman Marcus, and Bergdorf Goodman, filed for Chapter 11 late Tuesday night, buckling under roughly $2 billion in debt from last year's acquisition of Neiman Marcus. The deal was supposed to create an unrivaled luxury retail empire. Instead, a Moody's analyst called it the fastest failure of an acquisition of this magnitude that I've seen. Revenue dropped more than 13% last quarter. Major designers like Oscar de la Renta and Chanel pulled merchandise over payment concerns. Critical talent fled to Nordstrom. The company has secured about $1.75 billion in financing to get through bankruptcy and says it expects to emerge later this year. But here's the deeper issue. The department store model itself is dying. E-commerce changed shopping patterns. Luxury brands now open their own stores and compete directly with retailers who once sold their products. Secondhand platforms like The RealReal captured budget-conscious luxury shoppers. If you're in retail, fashion, or commercial real estate, this bankruptcy is a warning sign about the pace of structural change. And if you're a consumer who shops at these stores, watch for inventory disruptions and store closures as the restructuring plays out. The grocery aisle is getting a makeover too, though for very different reasons. A fascinating piece in the journal this morning catalogs how American food is changing faster than it has in decades. The forces driving it, RFK Jr.'s Make America Healthy Again movement, Ozempic-driven demand for protein, state bans on artificial dyes, and consumer apps like Yuka that let shoppers scan ingredient labels in real time. Seed oils are getting swapped for avocado and olive oil in chips from Lay's to Kettle. Red dye number 3 is being replaced with beet juice and turmeric. High fructose corn syrup is disappearing from products you didn't even know contained it. Tyson removed it from Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwiches last year. Coca-Cola launched a cane sugar version after the president personally encouraged the switch. Whole milk sales are up 5% while overall milk sales declined. Full-fat dairy is back. Beef tallow, yes, the rendered cattle fat your grandmother cooked with, is being marketed by Whole Foods as a nourishing and nostalgic fat. For anyone managing a household budget, there's a catch. All of this reformulation costs money, and those costs get passed to consumers. Grocery prices are already up 2.4% year over year. Healthier products often carry premium prices. The shift toward clean ingredients is real, but so is the affordability squeeze. Turning to geopolitics, and we need to cover two major stories unfolding right now. First, Iran. The death toll from anti-regime protests has climbed past 2,500, with unofficial estimates as high as 12,000. The regime implemented a communications blackout last week, cutting off families inside and outside the country. Some restrictions eased Tuesday, allowing outbound calls, but internet remains shut down. Eyewitness accounts describe security forces shooting directly at protesters, targeting heads, eyes, and hearts. Iran's chief justice is publicly urging swift punishment for detained protesters, which historically means executions. The president has encouraged Iranians to keep protesting, saying, "Help is on the way," his clearest signal yet that military options are on the table. Oil futures extended gains on the uncertainty. For anyone with energy exposure or simply filling up their car, Iran risk is now priced into every barrel. Meanwhile, at the White House today, Greenland's foreign minister and her Danish counterpart are meeting with Vice President Vance and Secretary of State Rubio. This comes after the president posted this morning that anything less than U.S. control of Greenland is unacceptable. Yesterday, Greenland's prime minister responded bluntly, "If forced to choose between the U.S. and Denmark, we choose Denmark." Analysts warn that failure to resolve this diplomatically doesn't just threaten NATO cohesion, it threatens the alliance's existence. The best-case outcome from today's talks would be some combination of enhanced U.S. access to Greenland's minerals and new European commitments to Arctic defense. The worst case? An acrimonious public blow-up reminiscent of the Zelensky Oval Office incident last year. For markets, this is less about Greenland itself and more about what it signals for transatlantic relations and trade. Finally, a quick note on the immigration lawsuits out of Minnesota and Illinois. Both states filed federal suits Monday seeking to block ICE enforcement operations. A CNN legal analyst called the arguments close to completely meritless, noting there's no precedent for a court prohibiting federal agents from enforcing federal law in a given state. The Supremacy Clause and Article 2 both cut against the state's position. A hearing is set for this morning in Minnesota. Even sympathetic judges are unlikely to block ICE outright. The best realistic outcome for the states is some procedural oversight of tactics. For anyone following the legal dynamics of federal-state conflict, this is a case to watch, but probably not one that changes the underlying enforcement trajectory. The thread connecting today's stories is institutions under pressure. Legacy retailers collapsing under debt, food companies scrambling to reformulate, alliances straining over territorial disputes, states testing constitutional limits. The winners will be those who adapt fastest to the new rules. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.